Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, this is the Highland Radio News at 5 o'clock. I'm Daniel Brennan. This evening's main headlines, the Taoiseach has insisted he was unaware Catherine's poem was being proposed as a government UN special envoy until the cabinet meeting appointing her. Northern Ireland's chief medical officer has approved 12 to 15 year olds being vaccinated by the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine. COVID-19 testing here could be scaled back as NPHET is considering a more selective testing process. A Letterkenny councillor has called on Health Minister Stephen Donnelly to visit Letterkenny University Hospital. And train journeys from Donegal to Derry could become a reality once again soon. We'll have those stories in full and more, as well as the latest in sport, coming up for you within the next half hour. Back to our main story this evening, however, and the Taoiseach has insisted he was unaware that Catherine's poem was being proposed as a government UN special envoy until the cabinet meeting that appointed her. That's despite Taoiseach Leo Varadkar saying her name was sent to the department of the Taoiseach the night before. Sean Defoe has this report.
A series of mixed messages again on the Zappone saga today. First, Taoiseach Leo Varadkar suggesting the Taoiseach may have known about her appointment earlier than Micheál Martin said he did.
Her memo was sent the night before to the Taoiseach's office, Secretary-General level, from the Secretary-General of Foreign Affairs to the Secretary-General of the Taoiseach, which did have the names of all the ambassadors and the Special Envoy, Catherine Zappone.
Then Fianna Fáil Minister Michael McGrath totally rejecting that idea.
This was, in effect, an under-the-arm memo, which means it's brought to Cabinet on the morning of the Cabinet meeting itself, and that is the first time that the name of Catherine Zappone was shared with the Taoiseach and with all of the other Cabinet colleagues.
Micheál Martin's spokesman has since released a statement saying the Secretary-General of the Department of the Taoiseach was sent Catherine Zappone's name for appointment at 9:24pm the night before the Cabinet meeting, but the Taoiseach insists he didn't learn about it until the meeting the next day and was blindsided by the now failed attempt to appoint a former minister to the role without any process. A fresh muddying of the waters ahead of the no-confidence motion in Minister Simon Coveney on Wednesday. Sean Defoe with the Fine Gael Thinking in County Meath.
Northern Ireland's chief medical officer is recommending that 12 to 15 year olds be offered one dose of the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine. They say it'll help reduce transmission and disruption to education services there. But ministers will get the final decision about whether to expand the vaccination programme. Gabriel Scally is a professor of public health. He thinks it's the right move.
There are a lot more getting long COVID, and the infection is causing great disruption in schools. And they also spread it, of course. So increasing the level of vaccination across the country is a really good thing.
1,199 new COVID-19 cases have been recorded in the north in the last 24 hours. There have also been 8 additional COVID-related deaths reported there today. 461 patients are now being treated for the virus in hospitals in Northern Ireland, with 43 of those now in ICU. COVID-19 testing in the Republic of Ireland could be scaled back, as NPHET is considering a more selective testing process. However, the HSE says it won't be happening anytime soon, as demand for testing is still high. Over 155,000 tests were carried out in the past week, with children making up almost half of them. Niamh O'Byrne from the HSE says the testing regime will change when the time is right, but that time is not now.
There will come a point in time, of course the $1 million question is when, but there will come a time where testing will scale back as the threat from the virus has faded, because you have to match your testing strategy with your position in the pandemic and what stage you're at, and as it moves towards endemic, there will be a change in testing policy and testing strategy.
321 people with COVID-19 are in hospitals in the Republic today. It's an increase of 6 since yesterday, but it also represents a 16% fall from last Monday. The latest ICU figures also show there are now 59 people receiving intensive care treatment for the virus. A Letterkenny councillor has called on Health Minister Stephen Donnelly to visit Letterkenny University Hospital so the minister can see firsthand the issues the hospital is facing on a daily basis. Sinn Féin's Jerry McMonagall is also the vice chairperson of the Regional Health Forum West, and he says a lack of staffing is starting to take its toll, both on the hospital and those working within it. His comments come as 42 people were awaiting a bed at Letterkenny University Hospital today, according to the latest INMO figures, making LUH the fourth most overcrowded hospital in the country today. Councillor McMonagall also says that staffing and funding issues were prevalent at the hospital well before COVID-19 was an issue, and that he's calling on the Minister for Health to visit due to growing concerns from many regarding the state of the hospital.
It's borne out as a concern concern and a growing concern, not just for myself, but from many, many others across the county. And I see that the Donegal Action for Cancer Care have also wrote to the minister requesting that they come to the hospital and see for himself the difficulties that staff and patients are having to go through there. I fully support that call. I am regularly, as a local councillor and a member of the Regional Health Forum, be contacted by staff at the hospital and by patients who are at their wits' end, to be honest. The pressure that's on staff with the current shortages and with a lot of sick leave and having to work double shifts is starting to take its toll. Patients in action emergency wards for 11, 12 hours. And now the new phenomenon recently of now patients, and very ill patients at that, at times having to wait 6, 7, 8 hours in ambulances at the accident emergency is just not good enough. And it's something that I believe the minister has to come and see for himself and see where he can intervene and do something about it. My colleague, Deputy Potter McLaughlin, there just raised it again last week in relation to the funding mechanism at the hospital and how the amount of patients does not match up to the amount of funding. This is one of the reasons why we had have had for a long number of years a shortage of qualified staff. We know that there's COVID there, but we've had these problems before COVID arrived.
Train journeys from Donegal to Derry could become a reality again in the future as the government looks at new plans to revamp the country's rail network. Paul O'Donoghue reports.
While trains previously ran between Derry and Letterkenny, the cross-border line was closed decades ago after Ireland achieved independence. But this could change as the governments in Northern Ireland and the Republic launch a joint review of the island's rail network, with Transport Minister Eamon Ryan saying reopening the line may be on the cards.
There was a previous rail connection from Derry to Letterkenny, and what would be the benefit of that? And to ask the question and map out the costs and the benefits it would bring, and they would be real.
While there are concerns reopening the route would cost far too much money, Minister Ryan says it could work.
We have a national planning framework which says we need to start thinking about how we get better balanced regional development, how we get compact development and how we get low carbon development. Rail ticks all three boxes.
Despite the optimism, Northern Ireland Transport Minister Nicola Mallon has cautioned that Irish Rail already looked at reopening the line 10 years ago. And in that case, they decided the move wasn't economically viable.
A Donegal member of the Defective Blocks Working Group says she's confident that proposals set to be given to government on Friday will achieve the goals of MICA campaigners. Eileen Doherty has been part of the working group since its formation in June and says that the family representatives on it have been working tirelessly to assess what 100% redress would entail in order to shape their final proposals to be given to the Housing Minister later this week. She says she feels positive going into Friday's meeting.
We have worked tirelessly over the summer. We have done a huge amount of research behind the scenes, and we've also worked with the expertise afforded by the Housing Agency over the month of July. As a result of all of that effort, we have now come to our final position. We will be presenting this final position to the wider Defective Blocks Working Group this coming Friday morning, the 17th of September. We are basically very firm and final in our asks in relation to 100% redress, also about the requirement for a state guarantee and also inclusion of all homes that are affected by MICA in the county. We will then ask the department if they have any further questions over the upcoming days after that. And effectively that's us done. That is the discussions over with the working group as far as the family representatives are concerned. We are just very keen to move this forward, to get this to a final conclusion in terms of a paper and to go on to Minister O'Brien for a final decision. We feel it's a very informed position. We feel that we have absolutely done our homework. When we went into these discussions, one of the key questions we were asked was around 100% redress. What do you mean exactly about 100% redress? So we went away and we quantified what we meant by 100% redress. We looked at the existing caps. We came up with new caps. We looked at the average size of homes. We looked at the submissions that have been made to the council thus far. So we used all of this information and data that we were given and found out through liaison with the local authority, for example, to inform our position. How they will actually receive this is hard to say. What we can say is that we're very confident that we will not be shifting from this position. This is a position that we must stick to in terms of ensuring that all families that are affected get a fair treatment and that they all get their homes fixed.
The PRO of the Micah Action Group says that Saturday's demonstration on the streets of Lifford was both successful as well as significant. It's estimated that some 2,000 people gathered and marched through the streets as part of the demonstration organised by the 100% Redress No Less group. Michael Doherty says the message sent at the weekend was just as strong as a similar march held in Dublin a few months ago.
Well, I believe it was a successful day. We're saying 2,000, possibly up closer to the 2,500 mark there. Up at the speeches, we got a good feel for what we had in front of us, and it was significant, and we were very, very happy about that. In terms of feelings from it, I think we are sending the equally strong message that we had, albeit in a smaller scale because we're in Lifford and not Dublin. But, you know, I think for where we were, the message is just as strong as what it was back then. There's no one backing away from the fight here, and we know what we need, and we have a very short time now to try and secure it. We have put together our final homeowner position paper. That will be presented on Friday at 10 a.m. to them, and we'll be taking questions, and no doubt they'll have to go away and think about what's in front of them then. So we will know very shortly whether they're genuine or not. We entered these working group discussions on the basis that we were trying to facilitate 100% redress. Our experience was closer to officials trying to defend the scheme that was already in place with a few crumbs through around it. So that's not acceptable to the homeowners, it's not acceptable to us, and we'll be standing our ground here come Friday.
And if on Friday there is a negative reaction to the proposals from government, and it turns out the government do not want to pursue a 100% redress scheme, does that mean it's back to the streets?
Well, you know, you think about it, next Friday, we're still, you know, in the middle of the month. The end of the month is where the negotiations wrap up, and we will not be going back into them again. But there's a window of 2 weeks there where there can still be debate forward and back. But certainly we don't intend bending on anything that we have in there, because I think what we have pitched is very realistic. What we have pitched is fair to the Exchequer, but it has to be fair to a homeowner that was at no fault in the first place.
The time is 12 minutes past five. Sports coming up after these.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up for the club championship and get your training essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie.
The time has come, 5:15. Time to go to the sports desk and Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Daniel. Finn Harps in the middle of a 3-game week with Bohemians the opposition this evening at Finn Park. Kick off in Ballybuffet is 8 o'clock. It's another quick turnaround from the Derby draw with Derry City, while their third game in 7 days is the Cup quarter-final to come against Dundalk on Friday. Mark Anthony McGinley is suspended for tonight, while Johnny DeLevy, Jordan Musto, Adam Foley and Dan Hawkins are said to be doubts. A Harps win would move them above the Dublin side into sixth in the table, but Bows do have 3 games in hand. Harps boss Ollie Horgan knows they will have to be on their toes tonight.
The one team that are capable of giving you a hiding. Bows have done it, they did it the last time we played them, they bet us 4-0 and wiped us off the field, and we need everyone available for Monday night. Unfortunately, we're down with a few bodies, but so be it. There's other people who will step up to it, please God, as they have done in the last month or two. I think from our perspective, the one game a week is ideal for us, and we've done well with that. It's not so much the Monday game of the midweek that kills us, it's the last game of the three is where we struggled big time.
Van Harp's boss Ollie Horgan. Cross channel, Seamus Coleman and Everton have the chance to join the early pace setters on 10 points in the Premier League tonight. The Toffees, who have 2-1s and a draw under Rafa Benitez, host Burnley at Goodison Park. Kicks off at 8 o'clock. Everton boss Rafa Benitez believes there's a lot more to come from his unbeaten side. He says they will continue to get better and better.
We are doing well. The team spirit is very good. The commitment, the way that we are playing, we are scoring goals, we have a clean sheet the other day, so a lot of positives, and still it's too early, because I think that we have to expect even more.
Virgil van Dijk is confident his Liverpool teammate Harvey Elliott will bounce back from the awful injury he sustained in the 2-0 Premier League win at Leeds yesterday. The teenager will have surgery on a dislocated ankle this week. Van Dijk missed most of last season with a knee problem.
The good thing is that I have experience with all the players, the staff, everyone around Liverpool, fans, that they have my back, and that they were there for me in difficult times too. And I'm 100% sure that we're all going to be there for him. You know, our club, Liverpool, will also be there for him, no matter what.
Tyrone goalkeeper Niall Morgan has denied the county tried to cheat the system. Their All-Ireland semi-final with Kerry was deferred by a fortnight after half of the Tyrone panel contracted COVID-19. Morgan was between the posts as Tyrone claimed a fourth Sam Maguire last Saturday evening. He says accusations of deception are wide of the mark.
It did work out in our favour in the end, but, you know, Croke Park had the right to turn around and say, well, look, if yous are pulling out, yous are pulling out. It was them that gave us the lifeline in the extra game, and to be fair to Kerry coming out as well and saying they were willing to play. So you knew if Croke Park had to turn around and give Kerry a buy into the final, that you were taking away probably the integrity of the competition. But it was a stance we had to take, and it definitely was the right one.
Well, thousands turned out yesterday Sunday at Healy Park in Oban to welcome home the newly crowned All-Ireland champions. One of the panel was, of course, own Roseman Cahill McShane. He returned to the county panel this year after a lengthy injury layoff and played a huge role in Tyrone's journey to lifting the Sam Maguire once again.
As I say, there was a lot of question marks over lockdown, and I remember various different... you know, just per moments that I was just really, you know, just obviously thought, listen, you just didn't know what was going to be the case. There's a lot of doubts, but I just had to work hard, stay positive, and, you know, my family, my friends, my girlfriend, Caitlin, they all helped me massively, and along with physios and different important people to me. And, you know, as I say, I always believed there would get back, and I kept working and just delighted with it. And, you know, no better feeling than about representing Tyrone and representing Owen Rose and bringing Sam Maguire back.
We're just looking ahead to tonight here in Highland. There's another packed EL Debate podcast with Brendan Devaney. This week he'll be joined by Brendan Kilcoyne on the Donegal Senior Football Championship. Aaron Kiernan gives his thoughts on Tyrone's All-Ireland win. There'll also be reaction from the Red Hands homecoming with more from Cahill McShane and Ronan McNamee. While Maureen O'Donnell talks ladies of football. A lot happening tonight on the DL Debate podcast, available on HighlandRadio.com, and it will air just after the 7 o'clock news as well. Davy Fitzgerald says he's unlikely to be in charge of an inter-county hurling team next season. The two-time All-Ireland winner finished up with Wexford this summer and has been linked with the vacant Galway job. Ireland's cricketers have given themselves a decent opportunity to level the one-day series with Zimbabwe in Belfast. Due to rain, the match was curtailed to 35 overs per side. The tourists were bowled out for 131. A short time ago, in response, Ireland were 9 without loss with 32 overs remaining. One of the National Hunt's modern greats, Altior, has been retired. The horse is about to turn 12. It won 10 Grade 1 races and twice finished first in the Queen Mother's Champions Chase at the Cheltenham Festival. And finally in tennis, Emma Raducanu has moved up to 23rd in the world rankings after her historic victory at the US Open over the weekend. The teenager became the first qualifier to lift a Grand Slam tennis title by beating Leila Fernandez. Daniel Medvedev remains the men's number two following his straight set victory over Novak Djokovic at Flushing Meadows last night. That's your sport, Daniel.
Thanks, Oisin. Back to news now, and there have been renewed calls for public toilets to be erected at Letterkenny Retail Park. In a motion being brought before Donegal County Council tomorrow, Councillor Donal Mandy Kelly is also calling for a bank link to be installed at the retail park. He says it's a disgrace that in this day and age, public toilets are not available in the area. Councillor Kelly told today's 9 till noon show that while businesses have been accommodating, it's time, he says, that the council stepped up to the mark.
It's a major issue there that there's no toilets at this retail park in Letterkenny. I mean, it's a very busy retail park, Greg, and there's maybe 14, 15, maybe plus businesses there. And, you know, this day and age, in my opinion, they have no toilets on this retail park for the public. It's another disgrace. Businesses, you know, they have been very accommodating to the public, you know, with the public coming in, having to ask to use the toilet. I mean, and businesses have been very accommodating, as I say, you know, and fair play to the businesses. But, I mean, this is a major issue. And, you know, I actually think, Greg, if toilets was put in place here at this retail park, that it would actually boost business in the area as well. And, you know, that's the reason I have the motion put forward now, asking the council to seriously consider putting toilets in place, you know, as I do think it is essential. You have people with, you know, different problems, and then you have people then that definitely are embarrassed to go into a business and ask to use the toilet. And, I mean, you have families there too with maybe young children, and, maybe having to change a diaper or something to get in. I mean, they have nowhere to go. And, you know, it's this day and age, we're in 2021 now, and to have no Publix and a retail park to get, as I say, Greg, it's a disgrace. And for me, putting this motion forward, I think, you know, it's a no-brainer to have public toilets in this area. And I hope that it's, you know, this is taken seriously, this motion, and that public toilets are implemented in the very near future.
And finally, a memorial has been unveiled on Inishbofin in memory of those lost at sea. The monument, erected on the island, honours those who lost their lives at sea in the Maharorty and Inishbofin area. Councillor Michael McLafferty says such monuments are important as they bring comfort and solace to affected families. He says it's a great way to protect the heritage of the area.
The memorial was unveiled yesterday in Inishbofin Island to mark and respect those that were lost at sea over the years, or fishing tragedies, etc. I think it's very important for all these type of events, memorials going forward, that they are presented where possible at the islands, or at the mainland, to mark both a mark of respect and also, I suppose, to mark as well that these people that have been lost through tragedies never be forgotten. It really brings home the whole fact as well, what these people, fishermen, do on a daily basis for us when they're out at sea. You know, I know it's a job to them, it's their daily living, but it's so, so much dangerous, basically putting their lives in the line for their communities, for their country, that people can avail of fish and so on and other various seafoods. And we just remember all those people, the likes of yesterday, today, and it's nice to see to mark locations for them.
And such memorials also help in retaining part of the heritage of the area.
They really do, Michael. That's through yet marks, you know, what the heritage is for the area. And obviously there are people there yesterday, visitors and that, such as myself, would not be aware of what was going on down through the years, not with everybody anyway. Obviously the recent ones would have been, but certainly not going as far back as records presented there.
And now the weather, a mix of cloud and sunny spells, but showery rain will move northwards across the county during this evening, turning into longer spells of rain at times, with highest temperatures of 16 to 19 degrees today. Our main evening headlines once again. The Taoiseach has insisted he was unaware that Catherine Zapone was being proposed as a government UN special envoy until the cabinet meeting that was appointing her. That was despite Taoiseach Leo Varadkar saying her name was sent to the Department of the Taoiseach the night before. Northern Ireland's chief medical officer is recommending 12 to 15 year olds be offered one dose of the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine there. COVID-19 testing in the Republic could be scaled back, as NPHET is considering a more selective testing process. However, the HSE says it won't be happening anytime soon, as demand for testing is still very high. A Letterkenny councillor has called on Health Minister Stephen Donnelly to visit Letterkenny University Hospital, so he can see firsthand the issues the hospital is facing on a daily basis. His comments came as 42 people were waiting on trolleys, waiting for a bed at the hospital today. And train journeys from Donegal to Derry could become a reality again soon, as the government looks at new plans to revamp the country's rail network. That's all from the newsroom for now. We'll be back with the latest headlines for you again at 6 o'clock. But until then, good evening. The obituary notices for Monday evening, September the 13th. The death has taken place of William Corscadden, Woodbrook, Glassley, Convoy. His remains are reposing at his residence from 6 p.m. tomorrow. Funeral service on Wednesday in St. Ninian's Parish Church, Convoy, at 2 p.m, with burial afterwards in the family plot in the adjoining churchyard. The wake, funeral and burial are strictly private to family and close friends only, with a maximum of 50 people in the church. The funeral service will be streamed live on the Craigs Media Facebook page. Family flowers only, donations if desired to St. Ninian's Parish Church, care of Gibson's Funeral Directors, Convoy. The death has taken place of Nellie Sheridan, Ahawani, Remelton. Remains will repose at the residence of her daughter Donna and Brian Devine, Kilfeek, Newmills, Letterkenny, from 6 p.m. this evening, Monday. The house is private to family and close friends only, please. Requiem Mass on Wednesday at 11 a.m. in St. Columbus Church, Kilmacrenan, with burial afterwards in St. Joseph's Cemetery, Rathmullen. The funeral mass can be viewed live on the Kilmacrenan Parish Facebook page. The death has taken place of Joe Doherty, 4 Tullochore Gardens, Strabane.
funeral leaving his father Lawrence Doherty's home, 46B Derry Road, Strabane, on Wednesday at 10:35 a.m. for Requiem Mass in the Sacred Heart Church, Derry Road at 11 a.m. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Donegal Mountain Rescue, care of Quigley Funeral Directors, 1A Newton Place, Strabane. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral will be private to family only, please. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam at churchservices.tv/Lechpatrick. The death has taken place of Louise McDade, née Costello, 10 Beechwood Road, Letterkenny. Louise's remains will be reposing at her late residence from 6 p.m. this evening. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 10:30 a.m. going to St. Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, via Upper Ard O'Donnell for 11 a.m. Requiem Mass, which can be viewed live on churchservices.tv/Letterkenny. Interment afterwards in Conwall Cemetery. The death has occurred of Dan McCrudden, 1 Cushnafina, Ballybuffet. Funeral leaving his late residence on Wednesday morning at 10:30 a.m. for Requiem Mass at 11 a.m. in the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorler. Interment afterwards in Drumbo Cemetery. Requiem Mass will be streamed live via the parish webcam at churchservices.tv/Stranorler. The house and funeral will be private to family and friends only, please. And the death has taken place of Raymond Burke, Brookdale, Coxtown, Carrigans. His remains are reposing at his late residence. The wake is for family and friends only. Funeral from his late residence tomorrow morning, leaving at 11:30 a.m. for 1 p.m. Requiem Mass in St. Joseph's Church, Craigban, Cloddy. Interment immediately afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to Northern Ireland Chest, Heart and Stroke, care of McLaughlin Funeral Directors.